Welcome to the podcast, Design Your Success, the podcast where human design and business meet. Every week, I will drop a new episode with an inspiring guest who shares his or her story about their business and how human design has fit in and how it has made a change for them. My name is Nicolena Huizinga. I am your host and I am a business mentor and human design coach. Have fun listening. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast, the podcast where human design and business meet. And today is a very special day because I have someone as a guest who I met a couple of years ago, before COVID. And we met in person even in London. And I'm really excited that you're here. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you so much, Nicolene, for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yes, so am I. So please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hi, everybody. So as Nicolene said, I'm Katie. I am a Facebook ads manager and a business mentor and strategist. And I mainly help women in service-based businesses grow their lists and audiences and increase their visibility.
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you do. And I think it's so important that we have experts like yourself on Facebook ads, because if you don't know what you're doing, you're losing
waste of money. Completely agree. Yes, I say it to clients all the time. And I have clients come to me all the time that say they don't work for me, I wasted money. And if they're not done correctly, they're extremely powerful, but they do need to be done correctly and utilized to, you know, grow your business.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of things I think as a business owner we can do ourselves, but this is definitely something to outsource.
Yeah, I think an awful lot of, certainly a lot of women I work with tend to be very creative. And, you know, they can give me content for days, but they don't like the tech side of things. And it can be quite an overwhelming place. I mean, we're, as a business owner, you do so many different things. I mean, wear so many different hats and so many different roles. And it can seem quite overwhelming, I think. So, yeah, absolutely. My advice, you know, is to never just dabble and play ads. Go and learn or get someone to do them for you, but at least learn yourself, because you will waste money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you haven't always done this. Yes. So could you share your story of how you became an entrepreneur and how you got into this line of business?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started my first business when I was 18. I left school after in the UK A levels. And at the time, there was no kind of university. I'm sure there probably is now, but there was no kind of university option for making your own money, being an entrepreneur. So I went into employment for a very short period of time. I think it was 6 or 8 months. And not long after, I had the opportunity to buy a business, which was a small sandwich bar that was close to me and close to a business my mum and dad owned at the time. So I kind of said, yeah, why not? Brilliant. Bought the business and absolutely loved it. Run that until I was 21 and introduced some other options and deliveries and catering, always trying to kind of push the boundaries and create more. And at 21, I sold it mainly because a long-term employee of mine, I actually caught stealing money from the business. And it just broke me. I mean, I was 21 and I took it so personally. It really, really hurt. So I sold up and just thought, you know, there's easier ways than this. So went into employment, proper kind of employment for the first time. And I was in employment for some of my 20s, but always knew I'd go back to running my own businesses. And I knew that was where kind of my heart lied. So over the years since then, I've set up and sold a few different businesses in product, in service, online, offline. And then my last business, I started, I think, 12 years ago now, which was literally from my kitchen desk, you know, worktop. And it was just around making a small amount of money while the children, I had two young children, just to bring them up and make some money as an extra income for my husband. That grew quite rapidly. It was a product business. And that soon we went to a bigger house. We then went to a bigger unit and another unit. And that grew quite rapidly. And that was kind of my baby. But what started off as wanting to have a business as a freedom and flexibility soon took over my life. And I remember being on holiday and getting phone calls from the staff members asking me questions or needing me, or if I was on holiday, the business used to go downhill whenever I was not kind of constantly posting on social media. And it really made me realize how much the business was reliant on me and how much I was the business, even though it was product. So decided, I kind of started falling out of love with that business. And I wasn't really in self-development back then, but now I can look back and see it was a real kind of vicious circle. I don't know which came first. Was it me falling out of love and then the sales going down a little bit, or the sales going down and then I started? And I, at the time, I thought, oh, things are going a bit quieter than they had been. And I thought that was the way I was feeling. Looking back, it probably was the other way around. But then decided to sell that business, which I did 6 years ago. And then thought, well, you know, I've done all this starting businesses from scratch. I have built up a lot of knowledge. I want to do something service-based. I want to help other people. And the easiest way I could think of to do that, and I knew I could make money straight away with my hands tied behind my back, was a virtual assistant. So that's how I started 6 years ago, service-based. That kind of went quite specific quite quickly in tech and funnels and Facebook ads. Because I'd been running Facebook ads for the previous business, I'd literally built my business on using Facebook ads. So I was very much self-taught. Decided that actually I could do this for other people, up-leveled and upskilled, and realized that I'd been doing it for many years anyway for myself, and then kind of started specifying in that and business mentoring, because again, it was an accumulation of all these years of having these different businesses. I didn't realize how much I'd learned myself and experiences and was able to support and advise. So yeah, I'm always learning. So always up leveling with the Facebook ads. I did a certified business strategy qualification this year. So always kind of, you know, adding little strings to the bow. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at the moment. So I've pretty much most of my adult life been self-employed. So apart from a few years.
That's such a lovely story. I didn't know this about you. I didn't know you have been running a business since you were 18.
Oh my God. A long time.
It's a long time, but it's lovely and it's so wonderful, and because you are a 1-3 generator in your design, so am I. But you just shared is living your design, is absolutely
okay. That's interesting.
As a generator, you need to wait to respond. And basically all you did was responding to a situation and then creating something new. And like you said, I'm always learning. That's the one in your profile.
Okay.
So the one is the investigator, is always learning, always gaining new knowledge, always gathering facts and information and, and building on that. So that is just wonderful. And another element, and that's the three in your design, that is the explorer. And that's the person who experiments and tests and tries. And now what you're doing basically is sharing all your knowledge and experience, and you're sharing that with your clients. So it's all very aligned with your design.
Even amazing, I love that.
But it's very aligned with your design, and at least with your profile lines, and also by being a generator. So I absolutely love that story.
Fantastic. I love hearing more about, you know, human design. So I find that really interesting how you can pick out what kind of ties into my story as well, even though you didn't know all of that. So yeah, it's amazing.
Absolutely. So when you think back, because you've been in business for quite a long time.
Yes.
What were the hurdles that you came across and how did you overcome them?
I think a lot of them were mainly self-belief and holding back, you know, something we all hear probably a million times a day, and questioning and worrying about other people's opinions far too much, not having the belief. I always knew I could make money. I always knew I could run businesses because I have done that. So I've proved to my brain enough times, I think, that I can do that. It's how far I could push that belief. So yes, I can make some money and I can have some success. How far can I take that? And I think that was the one for me. A fear of failure has always been, I mean, from what I've said there, it sounds much more like fear of success actually that comes up, but I would openly always say more fear of failure as well. The what if. And it's taken me, I'm now 42 and I'm in a much calmer place. I'm in a place where I kind of think, well, what if, you know, let's go for it, let's see what happens. And I'm much more relaxed in the whole process, I think, as well. So yeah, it took an awful long time in this business for me to go VAT registered again, because I'd been VAT registered in my previous business, and I think I had so much negativity around that business, because it took me a long while to get past. When I sold it, I kind of felt that I'd failed, even though I'd started it from scratch with £500 investment for stock, and I'd grown it, you know, to multi six figures, and then sold it for a decent price. I kind of still felt that I'd given up on it, and I'm not much of a quitter, and I had that kind of belief in my head that I'd quit, that I'd walked away, that I'd failed. Mm. And it took me a little while to kind of get past that and look at it and reframe it and look at it from a different angle of, actually, you know, you did start this from scratch, you've sold it for profit, and you've got this experience to actually go forward with. And I wouldn't be able to probably do what I'm doing now without all of that. So it all obviously worked out, but at the time it felt like a bit of a failure. So I obviously had these negative beliefs, maybe linked somewhere along the lines of the VAT and things like that, and growing a bigger business. So it took me quite a while with this business until earlier this year to decide to actually take the plunge and push the business past the VAT threshold. And that was a huge blocker for me, huge, absolutely huge. Every time I thought about it, I was like, no, I'm quite happy sitting underneath. I don't want to go VAT registered. It's a huge hassle. It's this, it's that. And I knew you can't kind of hover around that threshold. You need to push past.
Yeah.
And these types of things. So for me, that was a couple of kind of examples of real difficult. And that's fairly recent with the VAT registration. And so far, you know, touch wood, it was almost like a blocker. Once I had done it, the business did grow a lot quicker, quite fast. So actually, clearly it was something in my own mind holding me back.
Yeah, it's so very often it's mindset, right?
Yeah, and absolutely. And
I absolutely love it when people become aware of the mindset thing and then shift it, because we can shift it, even though many people think it's very hard and they're trying very hard and they try to be something that they're not. And then it's like, oh, but I need to make it. And then, like you said, you felt like a failure with one of your previous successes. But the thing is, when you look at your Jungian design, the three in your profile is all about testing, trying, experimenting, failing, getting back up again, testing, trying, experimenting. And what I always love to tell people who have a three in their profile, and it applies to me too, so it's a great reminder for myself always, that whenever something doesn't work, it's just something you have found out that it doesn't work.
Yes.
So it's never a failure, but it's just, you know, like Thomas Edison once said, I haven't failed, I just have found 100,000 ways that don't work.
Exactly.
And especially for people, when you're listening and you have a three in your profile, you should write this on a wall or on a or whatever. It's so important.
It is so true. And looking back, that wasn't the business for me, you know, because it had become my baby and it was taking over my life. I think it was become such an integral part of my life that it felt like a bit of a loss, you know. And I felt like, oh my goodness, I've given this up, what am I doing? But actually, it was the best thing I ever did. It was the best decision. I can totally see that now. Like you said, you know, you're testing, you're trying something else, and you found something that doesn't work for you. And it wasn't in alignment for me or how I wanted to live my life. And I can totally see that now.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I sold when I did.
Yes.
But yeah.
Absolutely. So do you have your body graph in front of you, your human design? Do you have it?
When you look put it
at the small triangle on the left of your body, what color is it?
Gray.
It's gray. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's colored.
Yes.
It's colored. Yeah. Okay. So that means that's your intuition. So your intuition is very well developed in that sense.
Okay.
So you have sensed at the very end. That's what I figured, because you sense at the right time and the right moment. Like, okay, this is the time that I need to quit. I need to stop. I need to sell. I need to do this.
Yeah.
So your intuition is very well developed in that sense. And that is something that people can rely on when you have a defined splenic center, as it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And you can rely on that very strongly developed intuition, but it's something that we find scary as hell.
Yes.
We're like, yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. It's no logic. There is no reason. And that's the thing with intuition. It speaks to you.
Yes.
You have to listen.
Doesn't necessarily feel logical at the time, does it? So.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So when you've been in business for a very long time and you had, well, multiple six figures, etc. How would you define success? What is your definition of success?
I feel quite strongly about this topic because I it's such an individual thing. And, you know, you've asked me exactly what is your definition, and my definition is very much around freedom and flexibility and being happy, happy living my life, being able to earn an income, helping others, or very much in a way that suits me in alignment with freedom and flexibility. I love to travel. We have a little place in Spain where there is much as humanly possible. I work from there. I want to really educate my children and show them that there's other ways to live outside of, you know, these societal tick boxes that we've kind of been mapped out to try and live in. And also when we talk about success, I get quite frustrated that a lot of people will try and sell success, if you like, based on six figures, seven figures, this a month. It drives me insane because it's not always the thing that is our goals or that's important to us. Yeah. And like I said to you, the VAT threshold thing is a massive thing for me. Because I was actually living my total version of success. And that was what I didn't want to change. And it wasn't just about the finances. Yes, I wanted to grow my business and for other reasons, but I didn't want to change that level of what I felt really successful in terms of what I was living. I was happy. I had loads of freedom and flexibility. You know, I had money in the bank. I was helping loads of people. I just felt happy every day and joyful waking up and peaceful. Yeah. So yeah, all those things to me are kind of what makes success, or my version of success. And I just don't feel that the emphasis should be on external factors and other people's version of success kind of affecting that, if you like. It's something that I feel quite kind of strongly about, that it needs to come from you internally.
Yeah, absolutely. I fully agree with you. And you know, the funny thing is, every single person that I have interviewed so far on the podcast has a very specific definition, and none of them include numbers, money, status, anything. So
it's just what we're told sometimes, isn't it? Or, you know, others are ramming down our necks in terms of what it should be. And there is no should.
Yeah, absolutely. I fully agree with you. Last year, I went to a networking event, a very, I would say, traditional networking event, and I met several people, and especially men. And of course, you know, men, when you're listening, this is not to bash you, but the men who were there at the networking event, when they introduced themselves, the only thing they could talk about was, this is my turnover, these are my clients, I have so many people as staff, you know. And I was like, I don't care. I really don't care. I want to know what makes you tick. Why did you choose this business? How happy are you? How happy is your family? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely that. And it. The other things, I think, some of it comes with age, I think, as well, and understanding. I've probably changed my outlook to a certain extent, and, you know, certainly a lot less materialistic in my 40s than I was in my teens and 20s and things like that. So it does evolve. But yeah, the bottom line is happiness, isn't it? You know, I think, wow, if you're spending your life as happy. And also, I think for me, something else that I feel I don't want to be kind of regretting big decisions and things that I could have tried, if it's within my realm of possibility, then I'd like to kind of try them.
Yeah, of course. And I think that, well, looking at your profile, your 1-3 generator, and of course, I haven't seen your entire body graph, but I can imagine the top center in your body graph, that's the head center. And I can imagine, and I'm guessing here, I'm taking a risk, that it's white in your case.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what that means is that you are open to many ideas and lots of inspiration, and bringing in new concepts and new ideas into your world. And then you check with yourself, like, okay, is this something that I really like? Do I want to be doing this? And then you move ahead with this. So having an open head is very valuable, because also what you said about showing your kids other ways.
Yeah,
exactly. That's very typical for people with an open head center. So when you meet people who have a defined center, which means it's colored, then people have like a fixed image of, okay, this is how I should make money, this is how I should run a business, this
is the
way it should be done. and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes,
yeah. You're aware of that's going on, that's your system. But yep. In your case, it's just wonderful to have the open mind, because it also helps you when you work with your clients, that you can see and bring in new elements, like, okay, oh, you're running a business like this. Oh, great, let's take this angle, or let's take this approach. And that's incredibly helpful in your line of business with your clients.
Absolutely, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
It really is. Whenever I get to see someone's human design, I already know when I talk to people, I know them really well, and yep. they don't know me. So that's always the fun element in it, because it's always, and I always feel very honored and grateful that I get to see someone's human design, because it's sometimes it feels like I'm snooping around.
Seeing inside, literally.
Yeah. So I know, like, oh, you're sensitive to other people's opinions. Oh, you have irrational fears. Oh, you are sensitive to peer pressure or pressure to perform. Like, I know.
You're literally reading me.
Yeah, so that's the fun element. And it's always a moment where I realize, like, okay, I need to be aware of this, because it's very personal. And I'm always incredibly thankful and honored when people just hand me their design, like, this is me, tell me what it is.
Yeah,
what
I mean. Internally.
Yeah. So that's just wonderful. So speaking of human design, obviously you know a bit about human design, but how long have you known about it, and do you use it in your business?
I probably don't use it enough. I've known about it a while. I always knew I was a generator. I follow a couple of, yourself and a couple of people on Instagram that share kind of bits. And I always find it really interesting. Just like you said, how to kind of utilize that in the way you would run your business or do certain things or make decisions and yeah. things like that. So I don't consciously necessarily, but maybe subconsciously. And you've said some things there to me that are probably more subconscious than I'm not realizing I'm doing these things, but I probably do. It's something I enjoy learning about.
That's great. I think it, especially when you look at your line of business, it's really interesting to look at the human design element. Because, for instance, one of the energy types, projectors, their strategy is to wait for the invitation. And when they start using Facebook ads, they need to tweak their messaging, because their best strategy is to wait for the invitation. But using Facebook ads, you're not waiting for an invitation. You're basically creating the invitation yourself.
Yes.
So it's really important that you tweak the messaging and make sure that it's appropriate for a projector, because what a projector needs to do is share the knowledge and the wisdom freely and without hope or agenda. Using Facebook ads is basically, broadcasting your message.
And that's
what a projector should be doing, but in a very specific way that is just without hope or agenda, sharing the knowledge, sharing the wisdom, and that's it. So it's intriguing to see how that works. So, for instance, selling workshop spots or training through Facebook ads won't be as effective for a projector if he or she is not aware of the dynamics around
the way they're doing it. Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I have to start asking clients.
Yeah, definitely. So when you, and most probably, because you live your design like subconsciously already. So it could be that your clients, the clients that you attract, mm-hmm. are generators and manifesting generators.
Okay.
So people who have the same kind of energy, and because people get attracted by a certain energy,
yes.
right? That's how it works. And it's, so it's really intriguing to see how that plays out in your business. Most of my clients are manifesting generators.
Okay, that's interesting.
I'm a generator. So they get attracted to me because the manifesting generators are the people who are multi-passionate, multi-talented, but they lack structure. And as a generator, okay. I am all about structure. I'm like, okay, this is what we do first. That's what we do then. All about that. So it's you, but you attract the kind of people that get that are attracted to you.
Yes, definitely.
So that's really interesting to see. So before we wrap up this uh-huh. conversation, I would love to hear your top three advice, your lessons that you've learned, mm-hmm. the things that you want to share with our listeners.
I think number one thing I always say is just to start, because so many people just hold themselves back from whether it's starting in the business, whether it's taking that next step. So for instance, you know, if you are looking to become more visible or grow your list, just because that's kind of what I do, so it's relevant to me. But, you know, set up the sales funnel, whether or not it involves ads or organic at the moment, that's fine. Both one or the other, whichever, as many kind of avenues and visibilities you can into that stream. But do start an email list, so you're starting to build your own list of people, not just reliant on social media. Use everything you can, the tools at your disposal, to always kind of start, you know, that next thing. And that's one of the things I always say, start kind of before you're ready, because I don't get an awful lot of clients that might speak to me and then 6 months later come back again, they're still in the same place, you know. So do make a start, no matter how slowly. A year is going to fly by, so at least have moved on towards that, closer to that goal, rather than staying still. I think another lesson that I'm learning more and more and more the older I get is stop giving so much emphasis to other people's opinions and letting their opinions and energy kind of affect you. Mm-hmm. You know, you are literally... it's your business. You can do things your way. You haven't got to do things the way other people do them. You haven't got to listen to people's opinions, certainly not the people that are not where you want to be or anywhere near. And we do it terribly with kind of friends and family, and or we worry about friends and family's thoughts and feelings towards us, and actually nobody actually cares. what else? I think visibility, you know, getting yourself out there. And it is hard. It's horrible to start with. I was the person that wouldn't even put a photo of myself out there, hated photos of myself. And I've just had to get past it to a certain extent, because you will not build a successful business, whatever that success is to you, without being visible. It's as simple as that. You can be amazing at what you do, but if you're the world's best kept secret, nobody knows about you. So please, just whatever kind of forms and layers that means to you to be visible, and you can create a strategy around that and choose the layers that suit you and your personality and your human design and your energy and whatever works for you. But please, you know, you have to be visible. You have to get yourself out there. And it is scary and it's horrible. Once you've done it 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 times, it does become easier. Even if you don't love it, it will become easier, and especially if you do it and you strategize in those ways that suit you and your personality.
Yeah, you're so right. It's so true. When it gets easier every single time. I remember like 10 years ago when I did my first video, mm-hmm. it was like a deer in the headlights.
Me too.
I'm recording a video and I feel very uncomfortable.
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it? You know, and I remember my first video was with my product business, and I remember I used to feel a little bit easier about it because I had a prop, so I had the thing. It wasn't me that I felt I was selling, even though they actually were buying into me as a person. I had a prop in my hands, and my mum and my husband seen it. I think my husband said to me, smile more, you looked a little bit serious. And my mum said, put some more lipstick on, you looked a little bit pale. And that was that was the feedback.
Oh my goodness.
So going forward, I just always make sure I'm smiling and happy, which I am as a personality generally anyway. But yeah, absolutely. It does get easier. We promise you.
Yeah. And you know, the funny things, what you said about your second tip about, you know, not caring about what other people are saying about you. I think for you and your audience, your clients, when you look at the body graph and you look at the right hand side, there are two triangles. And when you have the top triangle, it's the smallest one.
Yes.
So is it colored in your case or is it white?
It's white.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Because, and I think many of your clients who struggle exactly with that, with the fact that they are sensitive to other people's judgments and opinions, is people who have a white heart center, because that's the heart center. And the heart center is, among others, the place for the ego. And when it's white, it means that you're sensitive to other people's opinions and judgments.
Yeah.
And I think many of your clients, when it could be a nice test for you when you work with people, like, show me your human design. Mm. When that heart center is undefined, you know that this is a thing that you need to coach them on. Because people with a colored heart center, they have, I would say not so much trouble with but other people's opinions, so they are more comfortable with showing themselves.
Right.
When you see that in the body graph, it's easier for you to coach them and to instantly know, like, okay, this is going to be a problem. I know we have to work on you being comfortable showing up and not caring about other people's opinions.
And it's an ongoing process as well, isn't it? It's never done and once done, you know. Something can set that off or trigger you, but absolutely, yeah, something to definitely work on. That's really interesting that you can see actually it's something else, more internal, affecting people.
Yeah, yeah. So when people say, oh, but it's not working, oh, no, it's not working, when you know that this is energetically, this is going on, and people are sensitive and are fearful of, oh my goodness, what will people think of me? And so it's an interesting element to add. I loved your tips. They are so good. And, you know, start before you're ready. It is a great advice, because many of us, and especially people with a one in their profile, which includes you and me, because we want knowledge, we want more information. It's so tempting to go for another course and another course.
Oh, absolutely.
More information.
And I could happily do that all day long.
And me too. Me too. I love learning. But the thing is, the shadow side of the one in your profile is that you wait for too long before you start sharing your knowledge, because you think, like, oh, I don't know enough yet. I need more knowledge.
Yeah, you're literally like looking into me. So true.
Yeah, so that's really, really interesting and intriguing. So thank you so much for sharing your story and your knowledge. And it's wonderful. We're going to share all your details in the show notes, so people will be able to contact you. And they should, because you're an amazing queen and what you do. And I'm definitely going to be in touch with you when I launch my academy for human design in business, which is all about courses about human design and how to apply it in business.
Because amazing.
I'm definitely going to need some ads for that.
Fantastic. I look forward to it.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I look forward to hearing your thoughts, so please let us know and subscribe so you will never miss the next episode.